here in the 26th chapter of the book of Psalms. Start reading at verse number 1. David said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord." Amen. I want to extract just a thought out of verse number 1. David said, "I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide." Amen. You know, as I begin to read these scriptures, I begin to think about our churches and I begin to think about the church world in general. And I can see within the last few years an epidemic that is sweeping our congregations. And the Bible told us that it would happen. It told us that in the end times and in the end days, thou shalt come a great falling away. And if I've ever seen it before, more now than ever, in our churches, there has been an epidemic of people deciding to backslide. Now, there's many different causes why this happens. Some people would just get miffed and get mad at the preacher. They get mad at their church family. They just get tore up about an issue and it causes them to run out of the house of God. But of course, whenever I look at that, I always say there was something a whole lot deeper than that. That was just their exit door to go ahead and do it. And then maybe somebody really did truly get hurt deep down inside and it caused them to stumble and it caused them to lose out. Whatever the cause might be, there is an epidemic in our church world with backsliding. And if the Lord would help me for just a little bit, I'd like to preach on the cure for backsliding. Amen. The cure for backsliding. Now, you would think, living in the times that we're living in, knowing the Word of God the way we know the Word of God, having the Spirit of God, like we have the presence in the Spirit of God, that we would realize that we are in the very last few moments of this dispensation. Amen. The Lord has spoken in our church, our home church up at Shadeville, and I'm sure He's spoken in your respective churches, that hold on a little bit longer. My coming is sooner than you could think. You know, don't get weary. Don't quit. Amen. Because this thing's getting ready to wrap up. I hope y'all hook up here with me in a minute and help me out. Amen. Don't get weary. Amen. You're right at the very verge of my coming. Hold on just a little bit. Now you would think, us being reasonable individuals, that we would recognize that and realize that if we ever decided to hold on, we better hold on now. The Apostle Paul, his greatest fear being a preacher was that after I have preached, that I myself become a castaway. You know what Paul was saying? I'm afraid and I seek God's face because I don't want to get down to the end of my journey and my testimony being that I went back on God. I don't want my testimony to be that the Apostle Paul changed his name back to Saul and went back to persecuting the church again. After I've preached to others and I've told them the way and I've walked and journeyed so far, I would hate to think that I would lose out. But I'm glad that when it all came down to it, and as history tells us, he ran from the captors and laid his head on the chop block. He said, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And I finished my course. Amen. I believe it was Solomon that wrote and said, the ending of a thing or a matter is greater than the beginning. Amen. But I think we got that a little turned around in the world we're living in right now. When we got saved, amen, we was happy. Do you know the Bible also says that we should weep at a birth and rejoice at a death? Come on here, we got it turned around. When we get saved, I mean, we're blazing and setting the world on fire. We're happy to be alive. But now we're not so many days far along in our journey. And we are losing the joy of our salvation. We are losing our love, amen, that we once had. And that thing, we're at the end of our journey. We're almost home. We ought to be happy. We ought to be exuberant. We ought to be cheerful. We've crossed a lot of valleys. We've climbed a lot of mountains. We've seen a lot of victories. But if we're not careful, right here, in this pivotal point of time, we'll lose out with God.
We'll lose it right here if we're not careful. I pray to God, and I would imagine Brother Buzzard probably would say the same. He doesn't plan on giving up. But wouldn't it be a sad thing after preaching all these years, taking all the stands that he has taken, him going through all the battles that he has gone through, to right now, what should be the most exciting time of his walk with Christ, he would just decide to lay that old Bible down. But guess what? People's doing it every day. Come on here now. Every day, people's laying their swords down, taking off their armor, and walking back to the house and saying, I'm walking forth no longer. Come on here now. But as I begin to read some scriptures here to us that David began to tell us, right here within this 26th chapter of Psalms, David gave us and some remedies for going back. He said, Lord, I trusted in you. I've trusted in you, Lord. I'm not going to slide. Whew. Some of us get scared and we're afraid to stand up and look at the devil and say, guess what, devil? I'm not sliding back. You're not going to make me fall. Come on here now. We have lost that vitality about us. We have lost that courage about us. Do you know that the Lord has given us power over that devil to stand up and look at him and say, go ahead and howl. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and fight. Go ahead and throw your darts. I will not yield. I will not yield. I'm not going to lay my armor down. Great God in heaven, I'm going to stand. I'm not giving in. I'm not backing up. I'm not compromising. I started to win, and I'm going to finish it. I don't know about you, but when I get out with the boys and want to shoot some ball with them, or maybe I want to get out and play with them, I don't start to lose. I want to win. I want to get to the end of it. That's how I want to be with God. I didn't get saved 15, 17 years ago. I didn't start preaching 15 years ago to quit now, to go home. I want to make it to the end.
Oh God. So many years ago, when God called me to preach, as a 17-year-old boy, I set my foot in the pulpit for the first time. I think I preached for about 5 minutes, and I cried for about 15. Huh? Oh God, take me back. Take me back. Oh God. I went home,
I laid that Bible out. I said, God, I know you called me. You're going to have to help me do better than that. I need to have something to say. Fill my mouth up. Amen. Come on here now. And when I asked him and I trusted him, God did it. Are you hearing me? I didn't start back then to give up now. I've got too much at stake. I fought too hard. I've walked too long. I want to make it to heaven. I want to finish my race. I want to fight my fight. I want to keep my faith. Oh God. Sometimes, we just got to slow down a moment. And we got to go back and pick some precious armament up. Every so often, I got to go back and say, Lord, take me back to that place where you first called me. And give me back that feeling and that burden I had when you first called me. God help my soul if I ever learn how to preach. Oh God. I said, God help my soul if I ever learn how to preach. Amen. Help me ever remember that I've got to have the touch of heaven. Help me ever remember that I've got to have the Spirit of God breathing on me. Help me ever to remember that it's in Him I live and move and dwell and have my being. Are you hearing me, church? I tell you what's the matter with a lot of you. You've lost your love for God. Do you know? I want you young people to hear me now. Do you know that you are the one that makes the decisions for your spiritual walk? Huh? You having trouble with worldliness? Do you know what? If you'll step away from the thing that's giving you that trouble, you'll not have trouble. Come on here now. If you're starting to get to the place to where, I know this is a little different from yesterday, but I'm just going to obey God. Just hold on here with me. Amen. Do you know that there are some things in this that we have to do? There are some decisions we have to make. There are some things that we have to maintain. My young people come to me and say, well, I can't feel the Lord, Brother Jerry. You know, I'm battling. I'm struggling. The first thing I like to ask him is, are you reading and are you praying? And when they look back at me with their head down and say no, then I know what the problem is automatically. You know, it don't take a PhD degree to psychoanalyze that situation. Amen. That'd be like me not eating, wasting away to nothing, about to die, and wonder why I'm starving. I'm not eating. There's some things that you can do that you have to do to maintain that salvation. The first thing David said, he said, Lord, I've trusted in you. And I've walked in my integrity. And I'm not going to slide. Then David begins to tell us a few reasons why he's not going to slide. The first thing he shows us is in verse number 2, he said, examine me, O Lord. And prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Sometimes, church, sometimes, young people, we just got to go to the altar, lay ourselves upon it and say, Lord, search me. Oh God. This, I know this has slowed down a whole lot from yesterday, but I want to talk to your heart today. Search me, Lord. You know, we sometimes self-examine ourselves. And that is an important duty. Every day we need to get up and look in the spiritual mirror and look at ourselves. But when we have searched most diligently, we need God to come behind us and examine us again. See, we as human beings, we're prone to be partial to ourselves. Oh, that really ain't that bad. Oh, that really ain't that bad.
Yeah, I know I got a few little issues, but it ain't really that bad. It's nothing I can't control. Whew. You know, we make allowances for ourselves. Well, I wouldn't have this attitude if so-and-so wouldn't be saying what they're saying. I wouldn't be hating this individual if they didn't do things that make me hate them. Oh, come on here now. Huh? I wouldn't feel the way I'm feeling. Amen. If God would move for me, I would have strength if God would come down and give it to me. I mean, if God would come down and wrap me in a plastic bubble and transport me to heaven, I can make it. Oh, God. You know, I remember back in school, they made us take exams. I used to hate them. Because I hate to admit it, but I was one of those guys that I didn't like to do homework a whole lot. Amen. And I would try just to get by as little as I could. Huh? Come on here now. But at the end of it all there, they'd say, okay, before you go to the next grade, we're going to give you here a little test and see just what you learned. And I hated them things because it showed me how much I thought I knew, but I really didn't know. Oh, God. It showed me where I was really at. You know what? It would scare some of you this morning if you would lay yourself before God, allow Him to pull back the covers of your soul, and look down in the depths of your heart, because you would really realize, I am in bad shape. I'm a lot worse than what I think I am. My soul's a lot darker than what I think it is. It would do some of you good to lay on this altar and say, God, search me, try me, know my heart, know my ways, examine me. Oh God. David knew by asking God to examine him that there would be no weakness that would be hid. There'd be no ignorance that would be uncovered. There would be no sin or no imperfection that would remain hidden. But everything would be made known, not only to David, but it would be made known to God. There's a lot of us, we're no farther than what we are, young people, because we fool ourselves with our church attendance, with our choir work, with our helps. But we need to realize we're in trouble. We're on the verge of backsliding. We need God to search us. Search me, God. Search me, God. Show me where I'm really at. Oh, God. We should never get mad at the men of God that's trying to preach, and our pastors that's trying to shepherd and care for our souls. Now, I'm not talking about these ignorant outfits. Just want to get up here and shoot at everything moving. Amen. 50 sinners in the house, and they want to preach on get your TV out. That's ignorant. Woo! Jesus left the 99 and went walking for that one lost sheep. If there's sinners in the house, we need to try to reach them. But I'm not talking about this morning. I'm talking about when the church is here, and God wants to break open the Word and start putting a light on us. Huh? Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. Some of y'all didn't like that statement I made a few minutes ago. But that's why we got some of the attitudes that we have. And that's why we got some of the reputations that we have. Because our men's not using wisdom. Now, I'm saying not acting like I know everything, because I don't. Because there's been times when I've done that very thing. Then I had to go and apologize to somebody because they was all tore up about it. No, I didn't apologize for my message. I said, forgive me for my ignorance. I handled this Word of God wrong. It ain't a weapon. We get up here and tease about, I'm going to fire the gospel gun, but it's not a weapon. Amen. Search me, Lord. You know that word examine there, if you notice that word examine there, it's used, it's very forceful in this verse right here. It means and represents to trying by fire. Amen. Or examined by fire to the point of melting. Amen. Burning away that which is impure. Amen. We need for God to examine. Turn the heat of heaven on my soul. Like that smith does with that gold. Get that temperature up there. Get that gold in that liquid state to where it's melted. And all the dross and the impurities rise to the top. Skim that junk off of there. And I'm going to come out tried, precious, like gold. Because I've got to remember my righteousness is as filthy rags. And I need God to come by and skim me. I need God to come by and purify me. I need God to come by and sanctify me. I need God to help me. Because if He don't, I can become succumbed to this disease called backsliding. I'll get discouraged. I'll get puffed up. I'll believe a lie and be damned if God don't search me. Oh God, when's the last time some of you young girls and some of you young boys just laid on that altar and said, God, I'm not asking for a boyfriend. I'm not asking for a girlfriend. I'm not asking for a good job. I'm not asking for all these things. But I'm laying here today and I'm saying, God, search me. Search me. See if there'd be any way in me. Look at me, Lord. Examine me real good. Don't leave no stone unturned. Pull back everything. Go all the way down to the marrow of my bone. And search me. Oh God. David knew the reason why that he was not sliding. Because he had already asked God to search him. Even when David committed the act that he committed and the grievous sin that he committed, he went to God and in other words said, Lord, search me. Get this all the way out of me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Come on, God. Get down there and cleanse me and I'll be white. Wash me, Lord. Clean me. Examine me. Well, you know why I know that that happened to David? Because you never ever read his history again where he ever went back out and committed adultery or murder. I'm going to say something right here. Just hold on to your pew like this. The reason why you're having reoccurrences with your problems that you're having is because you're not letting God dig it out of you. You bring that root of bitterness to the altar and you lay it on there. But before you go back to your seat, you pick it back up. And you take it back home with you. Come on here now. You bring them evil imaginations that we dealt with yesterday up to the altar and you lay your mind up there. But before God has a time to get a hold of it, you grab it back up and you take it back to your seat with you. David said, Lord, dig that out of me. And God took it out of him. We was preaching in a prison here a while back. I told those boys. I told them it was one of our high security prisons there in Orient there up in Columbus. And I told them, I said, you know what? You just don't need reformed. You need God to do something in you. I said, we've got murderers in this building. We've got thieves in this building. We've got all kinds of ungodliness in this building. You don't need to be reformed. You need to get that murder out of your heart. Amen. Because all you're going to do is leave here and you're just going to go do it again because it's in there. We need God to get in there and turn that light on and get it out of there. Amen. We wouldn't be having some of the problems we have if we let God search us. Examine us. David went on down in verse number 5 and he said, I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. After David's let the Lord search him, clean him up, the next thing he did was he said, Lord, separate me. Separate me. I will not sit with the wicked. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I tell our young people up home, you'll never win by having sinner friends. Come on here now. I want to be careful here because I'm not trying to promote a better than you type of an attitude. No, no, no. We need to love them. We need to pray for them. And we need to try our best to win them. But winning with them doesn't mean running with them. Amen. We've hit, Brother Noah's hit on it. The Lord's touched him to hit on it. He's helped and moved upon me to hit on it. But the reason why some of our young people is struggling with the fashions and with all the problems that they're having right now. And I want to say, I want to give them a little bit here. I don't want them to feel like we're just thumping the devil out of them. Amen. In a sense. Amen. But, I will say this. There is a grievous spirit out there trying to get a hold of them. Amen. There is attitudes out there trying to get a hold of them. Amen. And when you leave yourself idle before the Lord, there is going to be something that is going to possess and dwell in your soul. There's got to be something filling it there because something else will take its place. But we hurt ourselves because we are not separating. Amen. Because what happens is, and you're just going to have to agree with me because it's the truth. What happens is, when you start running with them, I guarantee you this right here, you're going to want to be more like them quicker than they're going to want to be more like you. Oh, come on here now. We kind of dealt with this yesterday about our sleeves, why they're trying to get so short and our skirts are wanting to get so tight, huh, and short. Huh? Why is that? We're allowing the world to influence us. Huh? But what we're doing is we're placing ourselves into an area and a situation to where we are in danger of backsliding. I told one of the brothers yesterday, I believe it was Brother John Kahn, we fool ourselves and we think we can handle this flesh. We are fooling ourselves. I don't care from the smallest to the greatest in this building. You are fooling yourself if you think you can handle this flesh. You hear me, young people? You are fooling yourself if you think you can go to some of the places you go to and it not affect you. You are fooling yourself if you hang around some of the people you hang around with and it not affect you. You are fooling yourself if you look upon things and have pleasure in things. I didn't bring that out yesterday quite like I wanted to. I didn't get around to it. But did you remember what it said there in that last verse in the first chapter of Romans? Not only they that do those things, but them that have pleasure in them that do those things. You don't have to actually go out and do that, but you can just sit back and have pleasure in it within your own heart, and you're just as guilty. Are you hearing me? There's some of you, you've not smoked cigarettes, you've not drank alcohol, you've not took drugs, you've not went wild and rampant and acted like the fools of this world, but in your heart, there is a pull, and there is a desire, and there is a dragging on you that's trying to get you out there. And if you're not careful, if God don't examine you, if God don't separate you, what should I say? If you don't separate yourself and allow God to separate you and allow God to examine you, you're going to lose out. You're going to backslide.
Oh God, my heart's broke. Brother John, when I'm looking out on this congregation and there's some young people that ain't with us this year that was with us last year, knowing that the Spirit of God, Brother Junior, dealt with them, called them out, and said, if you don't change, you're going to be in trouble this time next year. They just blowed it off. Went on in their own ways. Now look at them now. Come on here now. Oh, it's a sad, sad shape. But that epidemic, that disease, that lethargy that grabs a hold of our people called backsliding, that slow process, that little by little drags us and pulls us away from God. We better cure it. We better ask God to touch it. If we don't, we're going to lose out.
Oh God. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. Lord, examine me. Lord, separate me. You know, a man is known by the company that he keeps. One man said, if you want to be known as a good man, be found among good men. Oh, God. I try to tell my kids, try to tell my three book kids, when they go to school, there's two things you can be. You can either be a leader or a follower. I want them to be leaders. I don't want them cowering down in a corner and feeling ashamed because they look the way they look and they live the way they live. Tell my boy, don't you dare. Don't you dare get ashamed when they're talking about all these filthy movies and ungodly things of the world. And they ask you about it and you look at them and say, well, I don't have a TV in my home. We don't watch that stuff. Don't be ashamed of that. Come on here now. And I know, I don't want to act like I'm so ignorant. I don't believe that there ain't no pressure there. I know there's pressure there. I don't want my little girl to feel ashamed when she's got to go to that gym class with that long dress on. I ain't compromising. Are you hearing me? I said I am not compromising. Hey, this thing has kept me. This thing's put food on my table. It's put clothes on my back. When I was going down, it pulled me up. Are you hearing me? My God, it's my life. I'd be lost without it. Don't be a follower. Don't be a found among the congregation of the wicked. Huh? Someone said, well, I'm not that way. And quit hanging around people that is that way. Oh, come on here now. Oh, my. There's a whole lot of preaching that can be done right here. Amen. David said, I have walked in thy truth, Lord. I have not sat with vain persons or dissimulars or deceitful men. These wicked men were not his companions at feast. They were not his advisors in council. They were not his associates in conversation. Y'all don't need a Dear Abby. Huh? You have no business going to a carnal-minded person and asking them spiritual questions. Huh? Ask a spiritual question to a carnal person, what kind of answer are you going to get? Carnal? Huh? Sure, that backslidden family member is, but they know the Word of God. But they don't believe it. They ain't living it. They care nothing for it. Sure, they're going to tell you you ain't got to live that way. Sure, your backslidden family's going to tell you the preacher's too tired. The preacher's just a pounder. Sure, they're going to tell you that. You have no business associating, counseling, or being around anybody that does not love God. David didn't party with them. Come on here now. David didn't run to the mall with them. Want to help me? Let's go to the mall. Da 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 da. Huh? Oh.
What's her name again? Bethany.
Yeah. Sorry, Bethany. Huh? Now, Bethany, I know you don't believe like me, and I know you don't live like I do, and that's all right. You just go over there, wait a minute. Oh, way back over there in the corner, way, way, there in the back of the store, is a little clearance rack that has your type of clothes. Go ahead, and I'm just going to buy all my stuff. Come here, Bethany. Oh, my, Bethany, you just look so holy and so pure. Oh, one of these days, I want to be just like you. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a world like that? Huh? But here's what it is. Bethany, you just look so plain. I mean, look at this dress here. Now, I know it's got a little slit in it. Huh? I know that. And I know the sleeves are just a little short. But you know, it really doesn't look that bad. And you got to lighten up a little bit, Bethany. I mean, you know, people's going to start thinking that you think you're better than everybody else. And you won't hardly go nowhere with this. And you won't hardly do nothing with this. And, you know, what are we supposed to think? How are we going to know that God loves us when you're acting that way? Because that don't seem like a God that loves us when He won't allow us to hang around each other. Now, I don't see any reason why in the world, when I'm a Jesus only and don't even believe in the Son of God, I don't know why we can't get along because you believe in a God and that He has an only Son. I mean, I just don't understand that. We ought to be able to get... Huh? Come on here now. Come on here now. David said, I will not dwell in their congregation. I will not hang around them. God, I'll help my soul. Are you hearing me? Oh, I got enough battles with the devil than to go put myself in his playground. Oh, God, I got enough battles without putting myself in his turf. God, my soul is in jeopardy. Little by little, Bethany quits asking the Lord to search her. Bethany quits asking the Lord to separate her. And little by little, the clothes get tighter. The skirts get shorter. The slits get longer. The prayer life disappears. The Bible study disappears. And what we have is we have a young girl that's got a bad case of backsliding. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Oh, God! I don't want to lose another one. I don't want to see another one destroyed. I wish that God would get a hold of the Lord and say, God, cure our backsliding. God, Lord, cure our backsliding. Oh God, oh God. I know we must see and we must deal and we must trade and we must live every day in this world. I understand that. But we are to be in this world, not of this world. Oh God. Oh God. We must not, in any account, take our rest or solace in that empty society called the world. We could cure our backsliding if we just learn to say, God, separate me. Oh God. Us preachers fought so hard with this right here, this subject.
Because we're living in a generation that's done got backslidden in their heart. Don't tell me what I can and what I can't do. I want to say something right here. That pastor, that evangelist, that preacher has no authority to make you do anything. Pastors, if you can make people live right, I'm sure you'd have done did that a long time ago. But you can't make nobody serve Him. All you can do is keep your pulpits clean and try your best to maintain the house of God. Up here, the pastor, I believe, according to the Word of God, has the control to say, come up or get out. But it's a free market out there. Huh? The reason why that the pulpit's full is because there's people within that pulpit that has allowed God to search them and to separate them and make a change in their life. I live the way I live because I want to live this way. No man has made me live this way. Huh? I guarantee you I could start preaching a little bit more liberal and I could just stay as busy as I want to be. I could probably make a whole lot more money too. Huh? The cure for backsliding. We need to learn that there must be a difference in us and a difference in this world. There's got to be a separation. Study. Study the Bible. Study the Word of God. Follow the children of Israel. And every place where you see they begin to mix with other gods and other nations, what happened to them? They'd immediately go into bondage. But when they would see the error of their way and repent and go back to God and separate, God would bring them right back out. Every time. Oh God, we'll never get rid of the separation. God requires it. Amen. Separation. Not only did David separate himself from the world outside of the church, but he also separated himself from the world inside the church. He said, not only have I left the wicked alone in their congregation, I don't even fool with them dissemblers. You know what a dissembler is? It's that one that every time the pastor preaches holiness, they go, nah, it ain't that way. It's that mommy and daddy says, oh, don't pay attention to him. He's blowing again. Honey, you just do whatever we tell you to and you'll be all right. That's a dissembler. Every time something's preached, they just got to tear it down. David said, not only do I want to separate myself from this world, but I want to get away from that troublemaker in the church that keeps trying to stop. Hey, I love you, Achan, but you're bringing a reproach on the move of God. I wish you'd get right, Achan, but if you don't get right, we're going to all be destroyed. Come on here now. I love you, Achan. I want God to save you. But if you refuse to get right, I'll have no fellowship with you. The Bible says to mark them that cause division. Ah, God, are you hearing me? Oh, we need to separate. Does that mean we snub them and don't shake their hand? No, and if you think that, you're ignorant. No. Does that mean we don't pray for them? No. That means when they start to share, you don't get in on a conversation. Oh, God. Quick, Noah, turn that plane around. Huh? I don't mean treat them bad. I don't mean, you know, there's just some people in the house of God. It's a proven fact. There's just some people that
they're going to have struggles and issues, you know, the rest of their life. They're going to be up and down, up and down, up and down, laying on the altar, off the altar. I mean, that's just how it is. There's just people like that. And it's our duty every time they get on the altar to get on the altar with them and help them. My pastor tells me this, and our church this. Who knows? That might be the time they decide to stick. Huh? And we need to back them up, and we need to help them. Huh? If Achan would have been right and not tried to hide what he did, there would have been forgiveness. His family would have been spared, and they would have won the battle. But Achan failed to allow the Lord to search him. And that wedges of gold in them Babylonian garments looked so good to him. And he just backslid because of it. And not only did Achan have to pay the penalty, but his whole family paid the penalty, and the children of God paid the penalty. Don't tell me we can allow sin. We cannot allow 1 ounce of sin. Amen. We can't allow it. Next time somebody wants to tell you about how bad the church is, you need to just... What was that, Sister Mary, you told us a long time ago? When something bad would come to our minds to speak, what was that? Cover our mouths. I don't know about you. I probably won't... Huh?
What was that now? I said it ain't just wholeness issues. It's also things like carpet colors.
You mean people argue about stuff like that? Huh? Worse than they do sanctification. Huh? You know what David was saying? I've got enough on my mind to battle with to sit down and listen to somebody continue gripe and grumble and whine and moan and fight and push. I've got enough to worry about. I ain't got time for that. If I don't watch it, I've got a backslide. There's been people that's gotten up from our altars full of the victory, and some loud, long-tongued mouth person shot them down before they got back to the house. Great God in heaven! We need to get right with God! Keep your mouth shut! You can't talk to me that way. Well, I am, amen. Because when you get to judgment, you're going to look down at your hands. There's going to be blood dripping because you wouldn't keep your mouth shut. Oh, God. One old boy come to me one time. Tore up about youth services. I'd come to youth service, Brother Jerry. But it's dead. This one don't do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I finally about had all I could take. I said, hold on a minute. Until I see your big self coming in there and trying to help out and do something about it, I don't want to hear it. We got a lot of thermometers that can get up and tell you what the temperature is. My God! But we need some thermostats. We need some people that say, let's get a little cold in here. I think I'll heat it up. God! I think I'll heat it up a little bit.
That old boss up. Partner at work here, he said, you walk into his office, say, I got to ask you something. His theme is, when you walk in the door, bring me solutions. Don't bring me problems. I ain't got time for problems. Bring me solutions. I said, now, son, when you come to the youth service and you start praying for it and you start lifting your hands up and you start backing us up and you start helping, then I'll listen to your complaints. But I'm not going to listen to you analyze my young people while you're sitting in your living room and at the restaurant and down at the... Come on here now. I ain't listening to it until you become a part of it. Leave it alone. Well, they don't want to worship with us. They don't want to live like us. They don't want to help us pray. But bless God, you roast a weenie. They're the first one in the door. Come on here now. Oh God, I need to hurry up and get out of this place right here, I can tell. All right. Is that all right so far? Huh? Well, maybe if you'd try some of these old-fashioned heavenly holiness remedies, you wouldn't be feeling sick like you are. All right. I promise I'll let you up before you stop breathing. The next thing David said, okay, I will warn you just a little bit right here. We're coming on the downside now. I've put my 357 up. Y'all can shout with me now. It's going to get easier. Amen. The next thing David said was in verse number 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. You want to cure your backsliding? Compass the altar. Huh? David walked around the altar looking at it. Looking at the blood at the base of it. And the blood on each of its four horns. He beheld the smoke of the fire. Thinking of the sacrifice, the sacrificial victim that had died there. All for the salvation provided for man. You see, compassing the altar takes place after the pardon. Compassing the altar takes place after the pardon. Staying near the altar will cure our backsliding. You see, we just can't go. I told someone yesterday, one of the young people he's talking, I said, you just can't go to the altar one time and wham, bam, there it is. Boom, done deal. It's over. We have to compass the altar. And compassing the altar here, David said, after the sacrifice had been sacrificed and the atonement was made, I just begin to walk around the altar and look at it and think about it and think all this so that I could be saved. Amen. I'll tell you what'll cure losing that first love. I'll tell you what'll cure that backsliding. Go back to the altar and just start compassing it. Go back to that fountain that's still drawn and flows from Emmanuel's veins and start thinking about what He did for your soul. Oh God. No doubt there's a many time in David's life when his back was up against a wall. He was in the heat of the battle. And he just took a stroll down to the temple. And he started walking around the altar. Maybe the high priest just looked down and said, well, we want David, anything wrong? No, boys. I just want to remember. I just want to look and see what God's done for me. Who knows? Brother Buchanan, that maybe while he can pass that altar, the tears begin to well up as he remembered that sin with Bathsheba. Maybe he saw Uriah's face come up before him. And he just walked around looking and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me." Oh, God, thank you for forgiving me and restoring me. Amen. When our altars die, so does our spirit. Young people, you need to learn something right out of the gate, that this altar right here is your best friend. There's been times when I would go to my dad, to my pastor, to friends. He couldn't help me. But I've never failed to ever find a time that what I didn't lay on that altar, that God didn't come down and talk to me. Oh God. Some people say, "Well, I'm just struggling, Brother Jerry. The worst thing you could do is sit in your pew and struggle." I'd rather struggle on the altar. I'd rather grab a hold of the horns of that altar. Oh God! God, I'm a fighting. God, I'm a battling. God, I'm a struggling. But I have laid myself upon the altar. And like Jacob of old, I'm not going to let go till you bless me, till you change me, till you help me. David said, "You want to cure your backsliding? Come pass the altar." Verse number 7. David gave us one more remedy for our backsliding. He said, "That I may publish with my voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works." What was that? What'd you say? Testify? Testify? Testify. You want to cure that spirit of backsliding? Testify. That's right, Brother Leon. The Bible says that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Our testimony. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimonies. There's been times in my life when I was just as low could be. But I would get up to my feet. Really didn't have nothing burning. Really didn't have no fire there to really... But those are the times when I forget about all that and I just say simple things like, "I love the Lord." And something would prick my heart. And all of a sudden, a hot tear would come in my eye. Simple things. I appreciate Him for His grace and His mercy. No, I'm not slew no giants today. No, I've not carried the gates of any city up no hill. And no, I didn't slay 1,000 Philistines. But like that old congregational song says in that book, "I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them." There's one thing I've learned being a preacher. Heaven don't fall every time I get up. It just ain't going to happen. There's been times people have patted me on the back and said, "Man, Brother Jerry, you know, that was good." A lot of times they're just doing it out of respect. But I go home and I know, "Lord, help me, that was all." But that's those times when I just start reflecting back and saying, "God, you know what you showed me today? I'm nothing. I'm just flesh. And except you reach on that holy altar and pull a coal off of there and place it up on my tongue, I can't say, I can't do, I can't be nothing without you. Remember them old-fashioned testimony services? Every once in a while on a Wednesday night up home, we'll just have one of them. Do we plan it? No, we don't plan it. It's just all of a sudden that spirit gets in there. And people just get up and start saying, you know what? I didn't come to give the devil praise tonight. Oh, how he's beat me, how he's kicked me, how he's stomped me all day long. I just want to say I'm thank God for that one time. You know, let me think. That one time when I was sick and I was getting ready to die. The doctor said there was no hope. Amen. And then the Spirit of God came down and touched my body and made me whole. Maybe another dear saint of God will get up and say, I remember the time my marriage was about to break. I was an alcoholic. I was down at the bottom. I was dragging just to look up. Oh, but there shined forth a bright light into my soul. Opened up a fountain that's never went. Bless God. Maybe some old saint of God got up and sang, working the road. Oh, I wish y'all could hear Brother Newsom sing that. Working the road. Working the road. Helping the weak and blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heavens above and make it easy for those behind. Oh, great God. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost around here. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're testifying. They're telling about what God's done. Oh, we've got enough gloom. We've got enough doom. We've got enough discouragement. I wish that God would get up and tell the good things that God's did.
Oh, God. I'm starting to feel a little dangerous right here. Huh? It'd be easy for somebody to hop up right now and say, bless God, Brother Terry. Oh my God. I fought the devil and every one of his imps just to get here today. Oh, the biscuits burned. Oh, the clothes got ripped up. Oh, the children was fighting. Oh, come on here. It'd be easy to get complaining. Oh, but I wish somebody would just stand up and say, yeah, it might have been a battle, but bless God, I'm still here. Are you hearing me? The Lord saved me. He sanctified me. Filled me with the Holy Ghost. He helped me walk. He helped me talk. He's been with me. He's my comforter. He's my buckler. He's my sword. He's my shield. He's my high tower. My present help in a time of trouble. I wish somebody would testify. Listen.
You know what the devil would like to have done to that sister? Amen. I'll tell you what, when she was testifying, I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me. He just like to magnify on the point that your home was about to break up. You was about to lose everything. You was at your darkest point. But thank God she's got a testimony. They tell the whole story. I said tell the whole story. God mended it. God put it back together. God kept it. Ah, thank God. I wish somebody would testify to the goodness of the Lord. I tell you what we're going to do around here. I feel like having an old-fashioned Jericho march. If you're in this building and the devil's trying to destroy your home and God put it back together, I want you to march. If you're in this building and the devil and an affliction trying to get a hold of your body and God healed you, I want you to march. It's time we tell the devil the rest of the story. Come on here now. Ah, tell him what God did. Tell him how God delivered. Tell him how God brought you out. It will cure our backsliding. Come on. Come on. Oh God. It's time we start testifying. It's time we start compassing the altar and telling God, I thank you. It's not all gloom. We're not all going to hell. There's still some people that live right, that enjoy the blessings of God. Come on, obey the Lord. What are you going to do next, Brother Jerry? I ain't going to do nothing next. I'm asking you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Maybe you're battling. Maybe you're struggling. Why don't you come up on out of there? Why don't you raise your hands up? Why don't you magnify God? Why don't you ask Him to lift you up? Why don't you ask Him to touch you? Ah! You ain't got to backslide. You ain't got to give up. You ain't got to quit. There's help in the house of God. Come on, church, worship Him high. That old song says, I will not yield. I will not yield. And before I yield, I'll die. I'm not going back. I'm not giving up. There's nothing to go back to. This world holds nothing for me. I believe I'll trust God. Some of you young people, you're just standing there looking around. You're on the verge of backsliding. You're on the verge of losing out with God. You better wake up. You better blink your eyes. You better do something. You're about ready to die. You're about ready to lose out. You need to call on God while He is near. While His presence is near. While He's troubling the water. You better ask God to cure your backsliding. Some of you boys need to have your hands up. Some of you boys need to break that stinking pride and let them hot tears of God stream down your face. You need to just let God help you. You need to let God break you. You need to let God mold you. If you don't, that stinking pride and attitude is going to split hell. I'm not going to be mean here. I'm not going to be mean here. But if you thirsted and leaped and shouted after the Spirit of God as much as you did for that spirit stick, we'd have a move of God around here. I'm talking about something that's more than a spirit stick. I'm talking about something that'll light on you. It'll abide. It'll keep you. God. Come on, reach for him. Feel after him. That happily you might find him. He's not very far from us. Up and get behind these young people. Come on. There's some of them in desperate situations today. We need God to pull them out. We need to get some victory in the house. Come on here now. I tell you what, we've had some good services so far. We've seen God move, but God wants to break this thing wide open. God's wanting to really help us this morning. Come on, let's trust Him. There's not a battle too hard, Brother Buzzard. Just like you said last night, God's a man of war. He's willing to fight if you are. Of Him. Cry out to Him this morning. Come on. God wants to cure your backsliding.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
People, come on, don't stop now. Come on. We ain't even scratched the surface today. Come on. Some of you ain't even hardly out of gate. God wants to pull you all the way out today. Come on.